Hi, Josh. Welcome to SBS Norwegian.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's entirely my pleasure. We have lately heard a lot about crazy people going on some big adventures on the show lately. And you have put yourself up to a challenge. What will you be doing in Sweden on the 29th of February?
It's interesting. I've actually been living every single day for the past 11 months that I've been training for this, exactly what the answer to that question is. I'm going to be doing Vasaloppet.
Vasaloppet.
Correct. It's just a small, 90-kilometer, actually the longest cross-country ski race in the world.
Yeah. So. Which would be fairly well known to most Norwegians around it. Not everyone
Absolutely.
Had tried it, but everyone heard of it.
Maybe there's more sane people out there than myself.
Yeah, because I know not only going to do the ski race, but you have added an extra twist to it.
There is a little bit of a kicker to this story.
Let us hear.
I've never skied a day in my life.
And you're going to go 90K on cross-country skiing across Sweden.
Yes, it still doesn't sound normal. But in a conversation about this with a good friend of mine from Sweden that's done the race, we were in a conversation a few years ago, and he told me about it. And I said, that sounds fantastic. Like, what a way to see the Swedish backcountry. I want to play. And he says, you can't do that. You've never skied. So I took it as a challenge.
Yep.
So here we are.
That's how it is with challenges, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
But that doesn't mean you haven't prepared and practiced
Correct.
For it.
Correct. So yeah, there's definitely been a lot of training. So I guess I went about this in a very rudimentary way. So I found out about, I've done all the theory research that I could do about the race itself. And then obviously my focus turned to training. So then what I did is I actually went on online. I Googled how to train for cross-country skiing on land, and it came up. So I've been working with Team Rollerski Australia for a little while, and actually about 7 months now, training with them regularly. So training for cross-country skiing on land with roller skis, that is the closest to practice that I've gotten, which is quite similar from what I understand. Not a lot of snow here in Manly Beach in Sydney, as you might imagine.
Yeah, I've never seen any, actually.
yeah.
During my 9 years down there.
Yeah, so from what I get, like, snow's a little bit like sand, but a lot colder. Is that right?
Definitely a lot colder. I'll promise you that. You came in here partly dressed as a Viking. Why is that?
So there's a little bit more backstory to this. So my ancestry is actually Norwegian. My family from my great-grandparents came over to the U.S. You might be able to tell by what's left of my accent. I'm actually originally from Colorado in the U.S., which is weird because being from a ski haven like Colorado,
Colorado is known as one of the places in the U.S. to go skiing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I have been in snow. I have been affected by the cold. I have been affected by being whitewashed by snow by my siblings when I was younger, and getting snow in the face on the way to school. So I had that experience, and that's the main experience that I'll be bringing with me. So my ancestry is Norwegian, so it's a very big pride point of mine to be able to obviously do something like this in Scandinavia, and then I'll be going off to visit Norway for the first time in my life after the race. So I thought it was appropriate, Frank. Actually, I made a special trip to the mall today to purchase a helmet with horns, but I understand that's actually not probably an accurate representation of our ancestry.
No, it's actually not. Because
Let's get rid of this rumor. Let's get rid of this.
Yeah. So to everyone out there.
Yep.
The Vikings did not have helmets, no horns on their helmets.
No horns, folks.
No horns.
You can still buy the helmet, but just get rid of the horns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. I take this quite personally because obviously, as I said, I'm American, and Halloween is a very big deal in the U.S. And for 6 years, I'm not joking, for 6 years straight. Actually, what I'm about to tell you, I've never told anyone before, so I'm just going to tell you this, everybody listening. For 6 years straight, I dressed as a Viking for Halloween, and I think from my 7th year in preparing, my father said, son, I'm actually going to tell you something. Our ancestors are the ones that packed the sandwiches for the Vikings. We actually weren't Viking warriors, so that got rid of my Viking career. But every year, dressing as a Viking for Halloween, I had the horns on the helmet, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
When Halloween partly meant it being a bit of a scary holiday, you might have looked slightly more scary with the horns.
Yeah, well, you should have seen me loaded up on all that sugar. That's pretty scary as well, to be fair.
I can imagine. So. But do you think that Norwegian blood could be a part of doing such a skiing challenge?
Gosh, I hope so, because I'm relying on it. I hope that a quarter of my blood being Norwegian makes up for 100% of the fact I don't know how to ski.
Yeah, well, it is said about us Norwegians that we are born with the skis on our feet.
Yep.
So hopefully at least you have a little tiny ski on your feet there.
there's a little ski under there somewhere. Yeah, yep. Perfect.
So, but other than your Viking blood, and I said, what is it that drives you to do challenges like this? It's sort of challenges, not necessarily Vasaloppa, but sort of doing a challenge. What's
absolutely
in it for you?
So what I've learned is genuinely we can do anything. You know, you set your mind to something. As they say, the moment upon committing to something, the universe will conspire to assist you. And I genuinely believe in that. So you put your mind to it and people come out of the woodwork to help out. So I've genuinely transformed my life over the past year. Vasaloppet's the first of many challenges that I'm going to start putting myself towards. Every single challenge that I do is going to be for charity. So I definitely have that higher purpose drive to help others by the challenges that I do. But I realize that you can actually don't let something like the fact that you've never skied and you don't live anywhere near snow holds you back from doing the longest ski race in the world. And I mean, for those listening, it doesn't have to be the Vasaloppet of the world. It could be anything. But if you have a passion, just dig in, commit to it and get support along the way. And you can really do anything you want to.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, it came opportunities and help out of the woodworks from a lot of different places.
Yeah.
What was maybe the most surprising help or assistance that you've gotten along the way in preparing for Vasaloppet this time?
I'm going to be absolutely honest. I don't have to think about this for 2 seconds. The biggest surprise that I got, and again, so big support and friends that I've got from the Roller Ski Australia group, they put me in touch with this woman named Barbara. So Barbara Jezersek, she's an Olympian cross-country skier from Slovenia. Was put in touch with her. It turns out she actually lives not too far away from me. She's done the past 2 Winter Olympics, and she's dedicated her time. She's donated her time to helping me train at an Olympic level in cross-country skiing for the past 5 months. So we've met up at least once or twice a week for the past 5 months. And she's just diligently, had my mind in the correct space, made sure my knees were tracking over my ankles, making sure that everything was, my shoulders were loose, and just really putting me through a world of understanding that I would have never been able to YouTube, So, but again, that's just because I put myself out there. The right people reached out, and the right people have put me in touch, and really just believed in me. And I think it's you commit to these things, and that conviction shows through in your actions.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, as you said. Sort of help comes to those who try.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, actually. And you have to try. It's you can live in the world of theory.
Yeah.
And I actually went through this personally, because I went through a couple of months when I first signed on for Vasaloppet, where it was a funny story. Obviously, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this thing in about a year, and therefore it wasn't quite real yet. And then a few months passed, and then it became more and more real. And I actually went through a period of time where, I'm going to be absolutely honest, I was afraid. But I just dug in. And you can live in that world of theory and just kind of theorize about what it's going to be like, or you can turn it into practice. And then turning it into practice really extrapolated a lot of, a lot of contacts, a lot of learnings. I've got scars to prove the fact that, that I've probably gone a little too fast for my ability in certain trainings and on the road. And but I wouldn't trade it for anything. This is how you learn. So
yeah.
it's been an amazing process.
And talking about partners and people you are working with, you're also going to go skiing on the team of a very famous Norwegian, aren't you, as well?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I didn't know how much liberty we had to actually mention the partners involved. But so Team Santander, who's obviously the team that's responsible for the past 3 Vasaloppet winners, has reached out and fully sponsored me. So Anders Åkerlund, the world champion cross-country skier. I feel silly saying that to the Norwegian radio when everyone listening will know who Anders Åkerlund is, has reached out, sent me a video, and said that he supports my training, supports the Outspire program, which we can explain in a second, and really supports my ambition to do this. And so they are sponsoring my suit, my skis, and they're sending me a ski technician to help me on the day because they know I don't know how to put my skis on my own feet. So I emailed them back. I said, look, for the removal of any doubt, I've never skied. And they're like, no. We get that.
And again, pretty amazing that sort of when you put big dreams out there and try, people just get fascinated and want to help, and they want people to achieve. They want, don't want to beat you down.
Absolutely. Well, I said, one of the greatest things off the back of this is I've had so many folks reach out and say that this story has inspired them in their own way, you know, and help people realize that with a bit of effort, because it does take effort, you can't just talk about it, but with a bit of action, you can line up everything to your advantage to actually be able to take on a challenge of your own.
Yeah, and talking about inspire, you inspired people, but that's one of the things you set out to do in the next period of your life through an organization you set up called Outspire.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that one?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So Outspire, so what I didn't want this to do is just to be a Josh story. I thought this was something that I wanted to be accessible and kind of create a platform where people can follow the Vasa Lopet challenge, and then any challenges that come after this, because I do already have a couple of challenges lined up after Vasa Lopet that I'm gonna put myself to. But what I wanted it to do is outspire.org to be a landing page where people can submit their own challenges and blog about their own stories, and then through that have people reach out and help them achieve their own challenges. So it's nonprofit. There's no money involved. It's just a landing page for people that want to turn a challenge from theory into practice.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And you mentioning the charitable purpose of this. Why is that important for you to have sort of a charitable part of this whole adventure thing?
It's incredibly important for me, and it's bigger than myself. The challenge is fantastic. I have a lot of personal gain. I mean, the physical aspect, the fact that I get to travel and work with different cultures and different people to do these challenges, especially the Vasa Lopet, but it has to be for a purpose. And a very good friend of mine, his name is James Thomas, he and his wife Christy run a charity called Feel the Magic. And what Feel the Magic is, it's a grief counseling program for children that have lost a parent, sibling, or legal guardian. And so with this program, they've actually set out to run a thing called Camp Magic, and it's a 3-day away camp. So they have children that go there. That's a bit of an offsite. They have psychologists and, you know, different team building activities just to allow the family to reconnect and really deal with the grief of having lost, you know, a parent, sibling, or a legal guardian in their lives. But I knew their story for the past couple of years because they're good friends of mine. And I said, if there's ever anything in my life that comes up to where I can support a charity, I'm gonna knock on their door first. And thankfully, they brought me on as their ambassador. James is actually coming with me to Sweden, so that way my head isn't going too crazy on the flight. He's an amazing guy, and just a phenomenal charity. And so that's why I'm trying to raise about $10,000 for this charity, because the cost to Feel the Magic to put a child through the grief counseling program is $1,000. It's free for Australians. So if a family wants to go through the grief program, they can reach out to Feel the Magic and do that. That's no cost to them. But it costs the organization about $1,000 a child. So hopefully through my efforts, I'll be able to send 10 children through the grief counseling program.
Yeah, that's sounds like a good purpose and doing things like that. But back to you. Your Norwegian roots that we talked about earlier. You said it was your great-grandfather that...
grandmother and grandfather, actually, that came across. So they were 100%. We were 100% Norwegian then.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so when they came out and really got into farming in Midwestern U.S.
Yeah.
And really got into the farming life then. And unfortunately, though we've always had a great... to be honest, I would say budging on fascination with the Norwegian culture. Growing up, we always had Norwegian Christmas decorations around the house. We had pictures of fjordlands in our living room, though in my immediate family, none of us had been to Norway yet. And so there's always been a bit of a long-lost sentiment towards where we come from.
Yeah.
And
do you know where in Norway your family came from?
From what I understand, the family originates from Brevik, down in the south.
Yeah.
But that's as far as I know. So when I go over there after Vasa Lopet, I'm definitely going to go digging around and just have a look.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't owe anybody money. Maybe that's why we left. I don't know.
Well... Maybe not, but I mean, I think it was about half of Norway's population that actually left Norway for the U.S. 150 years ago. So there's probably a slew of reasons why people actually left.
Yeah,
so.
Hopefully Norway doesn't have a problem with some of us coming back. I don't know.
No, normally you're warmly welcome back to... dude even put it on land. So
cannot wait. Absolutely cannot. It's to be honest, it is genuinely a dream come true to finally have my feet on land in Norway. So
yeah. Well, we'll be lovely to hear about that one day as well, yeah. And definitely how you did in the Vasalopp. It's going to be interesting.
I look forward to that conversation.
Yeah.